Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Mr. President, you're driving us crazy. You're winning too much.
I'm a man. I am an anchor man. I'm a man who discovered the wheel and built the Eiffel Tower out of metal and bronze. That's what kind of man I am.
Government is not the solution to our problems. Government is the problem.
I got into broadcasting because I like to give. Sometimes I found myself hurting from giving too much.
Now, Mark Reardon.
Mark Reardon, ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together and give a warm welcome to this guy.
On KMOX.
It's go time. It's go time time. It's go, no go, lock and load, love him and leave him, smoke him if you got him, see him when I see it, because it's time for Mark Reardon time.
Ah, so much going on today. We're tracking what's going on in the United States Senate right now. The Senate has voted to advance the health care bill. And that only means they're going to, you know, debate it, and they're going to bring it to the floor, and you can have amendments and all those things. So that's certainly, if you're still in the camp, and I don't think I am, that thinks that maybe you can get a health care bill to the president's desk and do what you promise, there is at least a window for that. But that doesn't mean that they have the votes. Just because someone's voting in the United States Senate for the bill to come up for debate does not mean that, in fact, there's going to be any passage or anything like that. Hey, Greg in the other room, come in here. You know, this happened yesterday. I wanted to see if we can dip into John McCain is speaking on the House floor right now, and I should probably know how to press these buttons on my own. But I don't, because I've only worked in radio for like 35 years. There was a lot of applause for Senator McCain, and his vote was needed for passing this on and making sure that there was full debate on the health care bill. So let me see if I can bring that to you, at least some of it to you live here from CNN this afternoon. Let's see if we got that. Let's see. Here we go. This is John McCain right now. This is live.
Keen their ambitions, they had an obligation to work collaboratively to ensure the Senate discharged its constitutional responsibilities effectively. Our responsibilities are important, vitally important to the continued success of our republic. And our arcane rules and customs are deliberately intended to require broad cooperation to function well at all. The most revered members of this institution accepted the necessity of compromise in order to make incremental progress on solving America's problems and defend her from her adversaries. That principled mindset and the service of our predecessors who possessed it come to mind when I hear the Senate referred to as the world's greatest deliberative body. I'm not sure we can claim that distinction with a straight face today. I'm sure it wasn't always deserved in previous eras either, but I'm sure there have been times when it was, and I was privileged to witness some of those occasions. Our deliberations today, not just our debates, but the exercise of all of our responsibilities, authorizing government policies, appropriating the funds to implement them, exercising our advice and consent role, are often lively and interesting. They can be as sincere and principled, but they are more partisan, more tribal, more of the time than at any time that I can remember. Our deliberations can still be important and useful, but I think we'd all agree they haven't been overburdened by greatness lately.
All right, so that's Senator John McCain live on the Senate floor right now, returning to the Senate after the cancer diagnosis. You can see his eye is somewhat blackened, his left eye, and you can see the incision in the eyebrow where they went in and, of course, determined that there is a form of brain cancer that he's battling right now. But he flew back from Arizona in time for the votes and the debate and making somewhat of an impassioned plea on the floor of the Senate this afternoon. On the topic of the Senate, former key player there, Jim DeMint, used to be with the Heritage Foundation. He was a supporter and still is a staunch supporter of President Trump. He has put together a new group called the Conservative Partnership Institute. He's going to tell us about that and also give us his take on the health care bill. St. Louis County Police Chief John Belmar a little later this hour on his handling of the situation with Metrolink Security and a whole lot more. Oh, Charles Barry Jr. coming up this afternoon as well.
When and what? Yes. No, if and or but.
Yeah, the son of Chuck Berry, kind of on a whirlwind tour about his father's latest record. So that's all coming up this afternoon on The Mark Bearden Show. Hang in there. Senator Jim DeMint coming up next.
From the KMOX Golden Oak Lending Studios. Golden Oak Lending, with fixed rates now in the twos. You can always follow Mark Reardon on Twitter at Mark Reardon KMOX. Now, back to Mark Reardon on News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Senator McCain's still on the floor of the United States Senate, and it looks like they have the votes to advance the health care bill. They voted on that, so that means debate will begin, and you can toss in amendments and all those things. And you know someone who knows that process very well is former Senator Jim DeMint, who took a job with the Heritage Foundation a few years ago. He has since moved on, and he's announcing the launch of something called the Conservative Partnership Institute. We'll talk about that. We'll also get his thoughts on health care reform and how the president's doing. Senator DeMint, always great to have you on KMOX. I know you're a regular here, and we appreciate that. How are you?
Mark, I'm doing great. I'm excited to be in the fight, and I'll tell you why we're doing what we're doing. I'm sure you've heard the question all over the country is what happens to conservatives once they get to Congress? And I hear that everywhere. People are so frustrated. And the reason that things change is the system is so much bigger than any individual. We all get up here, and I did it in the House and the Senate. You get in your foxhole, and everybody's firing at you. And so we've got groups that are helping elect good people. We've got folks trying to keep them accountable with scorecards and all that. But there's no real support group, a support team for congressmen and their staff. And that's what we want to do with the Conservative Partnership Institute is create a support group that helps members of Congress, helps their staff, train their staff, help members that come up get good staff around them, and that's what we're going to be doing, and I'm convinced it's a missing piece. If we can get conservatives to work more effectively together, we can leverage the power of the whole conservative movement and, I think, make a difference.
So why do you think that that is the solution to some of the things that are going on right there? Because, obviously, I hear it from my listeners here. There are people that are frustrated. They're frustrated. They've been frustrated for years. They're frustrated with some of the things that are happening right now. Why is something like this going to be helpful?
Well, the problem, I guess, we have with all of us as conservatives is we are thinking people. And many times we have a variation of ideas of how to carry out our conservative principles. So it's not unusual to have a group of great conservatives in the room who all disagree on exactly what the legislation should be or what the strategy should be to get it done. And in order to leverage the power of the conservative movement and advance our ideas, we've got to bring conservatives to a consensus, not just in the House, but in the House and the Senate. We've got to get their staff on the same page, because often the staff are the real leaders of the process, since senators and congressmen are involved with so many things. So developing this consensus gives us that critical mass that can be leveraged to actually make more of a difference than we are today. I mean, part of the problem is clearly, I think, Republican leadership not being committed to the promises that our candidates make, such as repealing Obamacare. But we can do a lot more as conservatives to bring leadership a kind of a deal they can't refuse. If you've got conservatives in the House and the Senate standing together on a way to get something done, to get the right thing done, it becomes much harder to turn it down.
Yeah, and let me agree with you in principle, but here's where I have a difficulty with this proposition and with criticism that's leveled against leadership, because let me offer you a real-life example of something that happened late last week. So the president reshuffles the communications office. Now, I know you supported Donald Trump. I tend to think that he's not a conservative. I know that he's trying to get legislation passed that would certainly tend to fall on the side of the philosophy that you're on and that I'm on. But you got this guy, Anthony Scaramucci, that comes in to run the communications office. And, Senator, I don't know if you know him or you've seen his record. This guy, I think you'd say he's a flat-out lefty with his position on some of the things in the past, everything from Obamacare to his support for President Obama, Hillary Clinton. He was pro-choice. He thinks that the Paris Accord is all right. Now, these are all things in the past, and he's deleted some of those tweets. But, boy, I tell you what, it frustrates me when I hear people criticizing Speaker Ryan or others for not being conservative enough when the president's bringing people into the administration that aren't conservative at all.
Well, yeah, obviously we have a lot of concerns here, and the president has put a lot of good people around him at the beginning in his administration. And the policies that they've advanced so far, particularly with regulations, have all been, like you said, on my side. I don't assume the president is a philosophical conservative, but his
right.
instincts have tended to be less government and more freedom. We need to continue to push. And, I've talked to Paul Ryan as well as Mitch McConnell about what we're doing with conservatives to try to make them more constructive and work better with the whole party and hopefully move the party our way. So we're not counting anybody out of what we're doing here, and hopefully we'll get a chance to continue to work with the administration to support conservatives who are in the administration as well.
Former Senator Jim DeMint is my guest on KMOX. He's announcing the launch of something called the Conservative Partnership Institute. Let's talk health care just a little bit. If you were in the United States Senate, and here we are, are trying to gather enough votes to at least get this thing on the floor for debate, where would you be right now on these particular plans?
I would be very disappointed and frustrated after 8 years of promising repeal that it's not a clear thing to do. It should have been a done deal the first week after the inauguration, as we promised. But we are where we are, and I think we have to move to debate. It's likely this thing could get even worse on the floor of the Senate,
yeah, right,
because
could.
Democrats are going to come up with a lot of amendments that are going to make it look bad for Republicans to vote against, and they'll probably pick up some Republican votes. So I'm not sure where this will end up, but I think at this point, if Republicans don't do anything, it's going to really be bad for America to leave Obamacare like it is. And it's likely if they do something, it's not going to be pretty either. So I'm not happy about where we are. My hope is this whole process will end at least with the ability of states to have the flexibility to regulate a private insurance market so that people could have more choices at lower prices of health plans.
I don't want to be misinterpreted here, because I think doing something on health care is important. But for me, I'll sound like a broken record here in St. Louis to some of my listeners, it's all about tax reform. And I have big yep. concerns here, Senator, that if they don't get this thing done and they can't get to tax reform, this is going to be a wasted opportunity.
No doubt about it. And I think where we are there is they burned the clock too much on tax reform already. And as Newt Gingrich has been saying, what they need to do is look at lowering tax rates, simplify, just getting what they can done with the people they have and keep it simple. Now, I've been working on tax reform for years. There are a lot of things that I'd like to do, but we're not going to get it done with the cast of characters we've got. We just got to get the rates down and make sure we don't need to do something like budget neutral that keeps the rates at a higher level. Let's cut the rates, give Americans back more of their money, and the economy's going to take off. And we need to do it by Thanksgiving.
I agree.
If we don't, there's not going to be time for the economy to respond. And again, as Newt says, it needs to be retroactive for the whole year so that as soon as this thing passes, the companies are moving ahead with investments and increasing their job pools.
Vital.
It is vital. This thing gets done, or otherwise we might have Nancy Pelosi as Speaker again.
Don't do that to me. Don't scare me like that. So do you have these days the president's ear on some of these issues or not?
I hadn't talked to the president in a couple of months. I've talked with Vice President Pence and several people in the White House. And so my plan is to get in front of the president and talk about the agenda ahead, and particularly tax reform. Hopefully we can have the health care situation done in a few weeks and move on to tax reform. And there are a lot of other things like the spending bills, funding the government, funding the border control. A lot of things the president promised that the Congress needs to deliver on.
Don't you think, Senator, look, you know politics, you've been around a long time, but isn't some of this stuff self-inflicted, quite a bit of it, with Donald Trump in the way that he tweets and some of the things he says? Isn't he distracting from the agenda that's important?
I don't think so. Because
really?
I think the only way he can get his ideas out now are probably through the things he does directly, whether they be speeches or tweets. I've never seen the media this bad. They were pretty bad with George Bush, and they were just full of accolades for Obama. But it is just a constant barrage of negative media for this president.
Yeah, well, it's TDS, right? It's Trump Derangement Syndrome. There's no doubt about that. And there's different levels of that. But, you know, yeah. I also think, look, if here's a you know, question I think that's fair. So if Jim DeMint, you were loyal last year with your support. If you get appointed to a position in the administration like attorney general with your former colleague Jeff Sessions, and then all of a sudden this week it seems like the president's kind of throwing him under the bus, I don't think I'd be very happy with that.
Well, I'm disappointed, and I hope that doesn't happen. I know the syndrome they've got now is when you're constantly under attack, then suddenly your staff and allies start pointing fingers at each other. But it's not going to solve any problem to get rid of Jeff Sessions. He's one of the finest men, and he would make the president proud the way he runs the Justice Department. I know the president's frustrated with the way the recusal was handled and the Russian situation continues, but getting rid of Sessions isn't going to solve any problem, and I think it's going to send some shockwaves.
Yeah.
Through the conservative movement,
I think you're right.
We love Jeff Sessions.
Absolutely. I think you're right about that. Senator Jim DeMint, it's awesome having you back on here. I know you've kept in touch over the years, and that's great. You were at Heritage and on to this new Conservative Partnership Institute. So keep in touch, Senator. We'll have you back on KMOX.
Well, I'll ask your folks to go to conservativepartnership.org and check us out and sign up for our mailing list. Love to stay in touch.
All right, Jim, we'll talk soon.
Okay, thanks a lot, Mark.
It's that time of the year.
Wow, look at that, the green cloud.
I see the photo cloud starts to drop.
Everything's gone.
It looks like everything was turned into rubble.
Tornado season is here, and severe weather can break out at any time.
I've never seen anything like this.
Stay informed, stay up to date. Get the latest forecast every 10 minutes, mornings and afternoons. And when severe weather hits, the KMOX Air Comfort Heating and Cooling Storm Center will be there for you.
It's up to date, up to minute.
St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather. KMOX.
Hey, I was at that game last night with the official state office holder of the Mark Reardon Show, our treasurer, Eric Schmidt. Had a great time on offense for the Cardinals and a nice win. And we'll have John Rooney with us this afternoon, 4:20, as he gets ready for game two of that series. We are joined in the studio this afternoon by St. Louis County Police Chief John Belmar, who is making the news these days, and I appreciate you coming in here. I know that you
Thanks, Mark.
You made some rounds earlier today. How about yesterday? That was a little crazy, wasn't it?
Well, it was. You know, about the time we settled down as a staff again to discuss kind of what was going on with the Metrolink situation, about 9:30, a little bit before that, we took off running down to Jefferson County as these officers were involved in a shootout down there. So obviously those things draw our attention away. But we're thankful that those officers are okay, and certainly grateful that this individual's actions did not cause harm to anybody else.
A lot worse, right?
Sure could have.
For a variety of reasons. All right. So where do I start here with Metrolink? Because this has been a lingering issue. But then, of course, over the weekend, the story in the Post-Dispatch about the officers who were at the substation and they're caught, you know, covering up security cameras, sleeping on the job. There's all these other allegations. So there's some concern that maybe on the part of some listeners that I've heard from, that maybe you don't think that those allegations are, well, I don't want to say that you don't think they're serious, but are you taking a wait and see approach on those right now?
No, you know, Mark, I've not said that. I think what I'm explaining is that when you take a look at Monday morning, there wasn't a whole lot of time to strategize with your staff on what we're going to do. We typically wait on investigations for sergeants and lieutenants or captains to bring these forward to internal affairs. And we have an administrative process for that, and we're actually very good at it. We've done it for a long time. This is easy. You know, we take a look at these allegations and they're going to be funneled through internal affairs, period. I think we're at a little bit of a disadvantage because we didn't know about these investigations until I picked the newspaper
so
up
you had
on
no
Saturday
idea.
Morning. No idea. Yeah. I know about the 2015 event. where the officer is actually, I think he's on the front of the story, putting that paper up in front of that camera. That's December of 2015. That officer says, "Hey, man, I was changing clothes." I can't dispute that, Mark. And he's transferred from the unit shortly thereafter. We're like, this is probably not a good fit. This isn't good. So we're going to go ahead and move this officer out.
I mean, what's your gut tell you on that? It sounds like an officer trying to cover his tracks.
But you don't know, Mark. That's the point. You don't know. We went in, the captain asked the officer for an explanation, and that was the response he gave. Neither you nor I nor anybody else can go to that officer and say, "Hey, listen, we don't believe you on this. We think you're covering your tracks up." It ends up being a big he said, he said on those type of things. And again, I think the best course at that time was going to go ahead and reassign that officer. It worked for everybody. I had an opportunity to talk to the director of public safety for Metrolink on July 11th. That's what, 14 days ago, mm-hmm. I think.
Right.
We were together for an hour and a half, and I talked about how I really feel like that Metro Public Safety, which is the component he runs, is in an outstanding position to be able to move forward as a corporate security advisor for the three police departments. And working together, we can make things happen. But, Mark, we were there to talk about problems and issues, and he never brought any of these other allegations up that are contained in the article to me in that hour and a half time, neither formally or informally. And if you're going to do these investigations, and because we now are launching them, that puts us at an incredible disadvantage to go back on timelines that are somewhat opaque at this time, but we are moving forward that with that through the process.
So did that come in? I know you were busy with the carjacking yesterday, but was there an opportunity at this point, here we are Tuesday afternoon, to follow up with Metro and say, "Hey, wait a second, did they know about those things and they just didn't bring them up?"
Right. We reached out to the Metro on Monday. The captain assigned to the detail did, the St. Louis County commander of the detail did. I have met with him today in a different meeting. I didn't discuss that with him, but that doesn't really matter what Metro is going to say now or not. It's incumbent upon the St. Louis County Police Department to just go ahead and move forward with this internal investigation.
The I want to get past the officer who's covering up the camera, but this was poised to me by someone today.
Sure.
I won't identify the person. It's someone who you would know, though. A media person, let's just put it that way. So he said this: "How in today's age can police officers be stupid enough to be caught on tape covering a camera and then a police chief respond by calling it anecdotal?" That was one of the quotes from you. "Or finger pointing. Holy cannoli, how about just stop being stupid, especially when it involves a hot button topic like safety on Metrolink." So what would your response to that be?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, Mark, and I'd have to review a lot of things that I said that actually their actions were anecdotal. I think I was talking to the entire situation that was presented to us in the newspaper that I was finding out for the very first time regarding that. Again, we have a track record of discipline on the county police department that goes back to 1955. I have taken action all the way from terminating officers, reducing them in rank, discipline days off, et cetera. You know that. That's what we do. We have a full-time internal affairs unit that does this. We're not trying to shy away from what happened in our responsibilities. I find it vexing, however, that I have to read about this in the Post-Dispatch when, at that time, 12 days earlier, I was with a director of public safety who had the opportunity to tell me these things, because at the end of the day, ridership is more important than anything else, and we need to work out our internal squabbles in another manner.
So do you think then, do you put some blame on them for, you know, basically blindsiding you on this particular issue?
Well, I would say so, yes. Yeah. You know, when you pick the paper up on Saturday morning and see this, knowing that you've had these recent meetings, and the director and I have had a relationship for a long time, and, you know, we've known each other for quite a few years. He had that opportunity to talk to me about this. And you know, Mark, this speaks to let's get to the bottom of it. This speaks to the issue not only of whether they put a camera, and it's not cameras, it's mm-hmm. camera inside of an office that is designated for these guys to do Regis and Mules queries, monitor the security cameras on the different platforms, eat their lunch, take breaks, do whatever that they're going to do there in this room. I think at this point, that lends itself to then saying, well, if they're doing that and we don't accept that, then they must be malingering, except for my stats say a different story. The productivity on this line by the county police department in 2016 and 2017 is remarkable. And I think to take the next leap and say, well, this happens, so therefore they must not be doing anything, it can be disputed.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, some of these allegations are pretty serious, even outside of the tape on the camera: loitering in offices, texting or sleeping while on duty, providing inaccurate information on their whereabouts. I would assume that if that were happening with your officers, that somebody at Metrolink who's in charge of public safety would have at some point contacted you about all this over the last couple of years.
Well, they contacted us in December of 2015 when that officer put the paper up in front of
that
camera.
But that was the only time?
That was it.
So, to the broader issue of Metro, because really, this is controversial, this is sexy, right?
It's in the Post. It's provocative, it's salacious.
And I think it's serious, too, because we should answer the questions, so you're going to move forward with the internal affairs. But the bottom line is security on Metrolink, right? I mean, that's the issue here.
You bet it is. So when we talk about security on Metrolink, we'll talk about 402 arrests that my Metrolink officers, 402 arrests my Metrolink officers have made in 2017. They've seized 27 firearms off of Metrolink in 2017. These officers, the week ending the 22nd, when the article came out, have a combined 322 hours of platform and train time, which means they're either on the train or standing on the platform. In this case, because they felt like that week that there were bigger problems on the platform than there were on the trains, they spent 77 hours on the trains and 245 hours watching the platforms. I can point to cases where those officers, the St. Louis County officers assigned to the link, and by the way, St. Clair County and St. Louis City, they're doing a great job on the link too, but I can point to the fact that these officers are where they need to be when they need to be there. Mark, we know we've grown up in a society where you shouldn't expect a cop on every street corner, but these officers are doing what we expect them to do, and the amount of calls they're doing, I mean, my Lord, 21,000 self-initiated calls. These are not.
That's a pretty big number
for this year thus far.
Right.
They must be doing something. And when we switched over to the radios, we were better able to capture that type of information. Again, here's what we need to do. You have my commitment. Your listeners have my commitment. We're going to look into these charges as we do any charges that come into the police department. We internally charge our officers at a rate that's about 70% higher than external complaints because we police our own here. But I think
when you say internally charged, what does that mean?
What that means is that there's about a third of the complaints come into the department from external citizens, different things such as that. Two-thirds of the complaints that come into the police department come in internally.
Okay, I got you.
Sergeants, lieutenants,
right.
Allegating officers, et cetera. But beyond that, we have got to move to a level of cooperation between Bi-State Development and the three agencies, the three police departments, because this is about ridership safety. This is about perception. We have to have confidence in this line, and there are a lot of challenges and headwinds as we move forward today. This isn't a good one necessarily to talk about, but I can equally spend a lot of time on the radio today talking about successes these officers have had on the line, too, because I'm proud of their work.
Can you hang with me for just one more segment? We'll come back. St. Louis County Police Chief John Belmar with me in studio. Back in a moment.
It's Mark Reardon now. Total Information PM starts at 4 with news, weather, traffic, and information you need on KMOX.
All right, Police Chief John Belmar from St. Louis County with me in the studio. I want to thank you for making the trek in here and hanging with me just a little bit. You know, I think that everybody understands why these stories are out there, and this is a legitimate story about the questions about your officers. And you've made, a very strong case about some of the things that you've, you know, achieved on these Metrolink lines. But why is there so much? What's your thought on why there's so much politics going back and forth between Metrolink and Stanger and you and your department? Because I think what people want to do, and I made this comment a couple of months ago, and I don't know that I would waver off it at this point. You might be able to convince me otherwise. I don't think that I'd put my wife on Metrolink right now. Now, I don't know if that's an unfair assessment. I'm not so sure I'd go on it because there are legitimate concerns about safety. I'm not putting that on you. I'm just saying there are some issues.
I think that's exactly my point, too. We have to restore confidence in the system. It's not only about police. It's not only about Metro Public Safety. There's a lot of pieces to this. We've talked about that. We probably have to have a barrier system like other cities have as you approach these platforms. I think those are common sense things for us to do. We probably need to get to a point where, again, Metro Public Safety has the ability to act like that outstanding corporate security component that works with law enforcement, that St. Louis, St. Clair County, and St. Louis County on advising us on what the problems are, and we advise them at the same time. We see that at the brewery. We see that at St. Louis University Hospital and Barnes and Ameren and other places. It works very well. Monsanto. Those are the kind of components I think that would be well suited as we move forward with Metro. There is, for whatever reason, a resistance on the bi-state side to really want to cooperate to that extent.
Why, though?
Well, you would
have
to ask.
Is it just a territorial thing?
I think that's part of it, but I don't think that should stand in our way. I've been accused of the same thing, except we've had a contract with Metro since 1994. I've doubled my officers on there, Mark. Mm-hmm. I didn't do that out of ambition. My goodness, that's hard to do. That's a big lift for a police department, even my size, to do that. We've really tried to really take a positive step forward with this.
Required to do that? Is there a requirement, contractual or otherwise, for you to?
Yeah, the requirement found in the compact, it's a federal compact. It's very old. It goes all the way back to Harry Truman. And then there's some statutes on both Illinois and Missouri that cause Metro to only be able to contract with law enforcement for the law enforcement piece. That's not my fault. That's not Mr. Stenger's fault or Mayor Crewson's fault or Mr. Kern's fault. That's just the way it is. So Metro is obliged to do that. And I think that's been a point of contention, and I wish it was not.
We're out of time, but we probably have many more follow-ups to come. But I do appreciate you coming in here in the studio and confronting this. And I'm guessing you wouldn't rule. Will you say you're not going to rule out firing officers if internal affairs shows misbehavior?
We do that
like that
all the time. I'm not sure these will rise to that, but we're not going to know until we get to the point of actually knowing. You know, there's an allegation of an officer sleeping for 8 hours in a room. Yeah, that'd be pretty chilling if that happened. But we got to get there first,
right,
Mark.
Chief, thanks for coming
in, man.
Appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.